Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Behind the Curtain with Paul Listick. I'm Paul Listick from WGN-TV News, and yes, this is the first podcast you've heard from me in many months since our world got invaded with the COVID-19 pandemic. But we are back. And we are back strong, and probably with one of the strongest guests we can have at a time like this. I want to get right to it. Brian Stelter, who, of course, is an anchor on CNN. He hosts the show Reliable Sources. It, for me, is must-watch TV every Sunday morning in the Chicago area. It's on at 10 a.m. And he has written this New York Times best-selling book called Hoax, or at least it's a bestseller called Hoax. He also wrote a bestseller New York Times called Top of the Morning, which if you watch the morning show on Apple TV, that was the basis of that. He's incredible work. Does incredible work. I think he's an amazing guy. He agreed to talk to me. Brian, welcome to the first podcast back from the pandemic.
Best intro ever. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Well, here's one thing. You know, a lot of hosts don't actually read the books. They just try and come up with questions. I think it's been different for you. I think because you were dealing with people in the media, we actually do read your book. I did read your book. And I want to start off with something. You know, recently the article that has come out by Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic, where, you know, anything that you can't tie to sources but are anonymous sources, it's all people who support the president. They can use that to say, you know what? Nothing counts. You don't have proof of it. Talk about the importance of anonymous sources in the world. In my mind, we can take it back to Watergate.
Yes, we absolutely can. It is always a journalist's preference to have on the record named sources. That's always the preference. But we live in a climate today where there are a lot of good reasons why people can't attach their names to everything. They fear losing their jobs. They fear losing their friends. They fear losing their status. You know, there are all sorts of reasons why people would fear being intimidated or trolled or harassed on social media. So I think those are some of the many reasons why people seek anonymity. There are also, by the way, a lot of less respectable reasons. Sometimes people just want to stab a colleague in the back anonymously, or they want to trash someone and not have their name attached to it. So obviously the reasons run the gamut. But when I was writing Hoax, you know, I had Fox staffers wanting to pour their guts out to me and tell me what it's like to work there. And I knew they couldn't give me their names on the record because they would lose their jobs. But I think here's what the most important thing is to say and to convey to the public. Anonymous sources are never anonymous to the reporters. You know, we always know who we're talking to. And we always talk with our bosses about whether that person is credible and whether we should publish the information. So I think that's the most important for the public to understand, is that there is a process for this and that journalists don't take an anonymous source in lightly.
And we're going to talk mostly about your book, Hoax, and the subtitle, Donald Trump, Fox News, and the Dangerous Distortion of Truth. But first, a little more sort of news of the recent days, which is we now have President Trump on tape talking to Bob Woodward for his new book, Rage. And, you know, here the president says he knew that the virus was bad back in February. He intentionally downplayed it. But, you know, the president and the people who surround him have an amazing ability to create Teflon and have all this stuff, you know, just sort of rub away. But now that it's the president's words, is it still easy for him to spin?
I'd like to tell you no, but the answer is yes. I think even with audio recordings and on the record statements, I think the president and his media allies are still really capable of turning on the fog machine and sowing lots of confusion and engaging in whataboutism and other tactics that allow the Trump base to dismiss inconvenient truths and unwelcome information. That is what it is, right? People can make their own choices and go ahead and believe the spin or not. But I tend to be of the view that the fog machine works really well for the Trump base, and most other Americans see through it.
So to prove to you I did read the book, and to confirm that you are indeed, like me, a politics nerd, you write about the fact that when you were 16, you had your dad, Mark, take you to George W. Bush's inauguration at age 16.
Yes.
So now, of course, you know, that's fine. I get it. I would want to go to inauguration, too. But that was coming off of the turmoil of, you know, the Gore versus Bush situation. Was it just about loving politics, or was there something about that inauguration that made you say, Dad, please take me?
I actually would like to go to every inauguration. I went to Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009, couldn't go in 2013, really wanted to, and then couldn't go in 2017, really wanted to. So I've broken my streak, but I would like to be able to go to every inauguration just because I love the pomp and circumstance.
Fair enough, and I'm envious of it. You write in the book, in fact, as you got tons of sources within the book, some we know, some we don't, but you sort of say, I think a lot of people believe that, for example, Fox and Friends, where the president lives, will tell him what to say and all, that he will tell them what to say, but they make the point to you that, no, we actually tell the president what to say, which raises the question, who's setting the agenda in the country? Is it President Trump, or is it Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, and even his friends in the morning?
Right. That's right. The Fox and Friends. I think the reality is that Fox has a lot of power in this relationship, and it's because Trump allows it. He wants it. He embraces it. He watches Fox. He gets ideas. He gets talking points. He tweets what he sees. And all of that happens in public. And then in private, it continues as well, where he will point to the screen and say, I want to hire this person, or I want to call Sean Hannity, or I want to call Jeanine Pirro. Sometimes he'll call on them privately for advice and counsel and tips. Other times he'll do it on the air for all of us to see. I think that, you know, it's hard to tell where Trump ends and where Fox begins, and that's why I wanted to write the book to document all of this. But ultimately, it's Fox that is setting the narrative, shaping the narrative, setting the agenda, and it's Trump who is, just like millions of other viewers, consuming it on the air.
You know, there are some who will offer some defense of Fox by saying, look, it might be that at night you truly get the pundits, the people who you wouldn't even call journalists. Although arguably you can make similar arguments about some folks over at, you know, MSNBC, although they're more journalistic over there at night. But they say that the day side truly is more news, where you have, like, you know, Shep Smith, those kind of folks who don't necessarily survive. So my question is, first of all, are there closet liberals at Fox? How do they survive? And would you agree that the day side is certainly more news-like than the night?
I would agree that it's complicated. I think that's a fair thing to say. It's complicated. But even the newscasts on Fox, the daytime newscasts, have been pulled to the right. They've become Trumpier and Trumpier over time. And this is because that's what the audience fundamentally wants. Trump is only one of the viewers, but the other viewers want the same thing. You know, I think what's happened is everybody at Fox feels the same pressures to deliver ratings and to deliver a certain point of view. And there are newscasters like Chris Wallace who are the exception to the rule, but they really are the exception. Here's the other thing I would say. The newscasts on Fox are lower rated than the propaganda shows. So that tells you what the audience prefers. They prefer the pro-Trump opinion shows.
Leaning aside, is there any reason, I mean, that there are those who, again, anything you want, people want to hurl at Fox, others will hurl at MSNBC. Is that a fair thing to do? It's just a matter of your point of view. You agree with one and not the other?
No, I think it's so much more. I put it this way. Facts are not partisan. Decency is not partisan. Democracy is not partisan. These are shared American values. So when Fox and Friends stars are on the air misinforming Trump and millions of people, we have to call that out. And that's different than a journalist making an honest mistake or somebody getting a fact wrong or having a typo in a story. The entire narratives that are presented on Fox are deeply dishonest. And that's why the network is unique within the media universe. It's something that I call asymmetric lying. Right now what we're seeing from Trump and his media allies is a lot more lying than what we see from Joe Biden, for example, or his Democratic media allies, you know, shows on MSNBC and websites like The Nation. One side is much more tethered to the truth than the other side. We have to just recognize that for what it is. And if we don't, I think we're part of the problem.
This may or may not be a comfortable question, but, you know, I hear it a lot, and hey, I've got you. There are those who put similar accusations now on CNN, and that's your home. And in full disclosure, I used to do a lot of coverage with CNN. I was a regular with Anderson Cooper a lot from a legal perspective back in the day. So Don Lemon has been on my show, so lots of connections. But would you say, I mean, is it fair enough to say that almost in response, the evening anchors on Fox have found themselves, on CNN, have found themselves having to also shift to come back to Fox News? Or do you still find CNN, as I often tried to talk about it, now it's more of the neutral place to go? Maybe not at the night.
CNN is, there's a reason why our marketing slogan is facts first. That is what the primetime stars are doing on CNN. That's what the nightly newscasts are doing on NBC. It's what, you know, CBS is doing and ABC, trying to report the news. I just don't see I don't know how you could say that it's the same as what Fox is doing, where they're going on with an alternative reality. For example, using the president's rhetoric and smears, calling the media fake, calling the news a hoax. There's nothing like that on CNN or MSNBC or elsewhere.
Would you not agree that the president's creation, as you write about this all in the book, the creation of the term fake news back in 2016, and then everything from 2018 forward seems to be hoax. That's right, where the title of your book kicks in. Yeah. But you have to admit, as a marketing person, it's brilliant.
I don't have to admit that.
I mean, on his behalf, right? Because that's the point. It's easy for his people to remember.
He hit the media on this soft underbelly, this softest part of the body, where it hadn't been hit before, to be quite honest. You know, prior politicians weren't so shameless to lie about the press the way he does. And so to call the media fake, to call the news fake, to call it a hoax, he's suggesting to his fans not to believe anything. He's suggesting that everything could be made up, which is, you know, it's outrageous. I know that people are kind of numb to it now. We know that's what Trump does, but it is the bedrock fundamental lie of his presidency.
You write about the fact that a Fox anchor said to you, "We've surrendered to Trump." Now, I know in the early days under Roger Ailes, clearly everybody did their work to please Roger Ailes. How did and Roger Ailes, some would argue, in fact, the book Bombshell argues, he created Donald Trump. Now, that's arguable. But how do you get from a network bending to Roger Ailes and then saying, "And now we'll go bend to Trump"? I mean, two very different creatures.
Well, Roger Ailes controlled Fox with an iron fist. As we now know, he abused his power, abused some of his staffers, which led Gretchen Carlson to sue and led to his firing and the sexual harassment scandal. But he ran Fox with an iron fist. He would have never, in my view, let Trump be the boss because he was the boss. He pushed back on Trump during the GOP primaries. And I had a lot of staff say to me, "I wish Roger Ailes were still here. I wish he were still running the network," because they felt like it would be better managed with Ailes at the helm, and they feel like Trump wouldn't have been able to kind of take control in the way he has. Of course, it's not as if Trump runs Fox. I'm not claiming that Trump is actually the president of Fox News. It's just that the shows are tailored to him. Anchors and producers and reporters try to appeal to Trump and his fans. And so over time, the networks become Trumpier and Trumpier for that reason.
Well, you're saying that you're not saying that President Trump runs Fox News, but you do say in the book that Sean Hannity is president of the United States.
I do not. I do not literally say that.
A shadow chief of staff.
You know, Hannity is a confidant of the president. He has a lot of power in the Trump universe. And doesn't use it responsibly. Look, if these folks were giving Trump the highest quality vetted information, if they were out there, you know, triple checking their facts and making sure they had it right, then there wouldn't be a need for a book like this. But so often what's on Fox and Friends and on the primetime shows is misleading at best and just totally wrong at worst. When they're on the air talking about New York City like it's some crazy disaster zone, talking about Chicago like it's a hellhole, you know, they're distorting reality. I know that our cities have some challenges right now, and COVID's made those challenges a lot harder. But the way that they depict what's going on in cities is just not true. Unfortunately, millions of people believe it. And that's the dynamic that we're in.
Kat, of course, I was kidding in my last comment. But let me also ask you, this is a chicken or the egg question. Do Trump supporters trust Fox first and therefore they trust Trump because Fox came first? Or do they trust Trump so much that they now truly believe in Fox?
That's interesting. I think it is. There's this mutually beneficial relationship where there's a message that's conveyed that says only trust Fox and Trump, only trust pro-Trump media, don't trust anything else. And certainly some people buy that, others don't. Some people buy that. I think when Fox tries to help Trump, they're actually hurting him a lot of the time by misinforming him, by misleading him, by making him think that the biggest story in the country is, you know, I don't know, Antifa or something, you know, something that's fringe and not a huge priority. So they try to help him. They end up hurting him.
You do write in the book that Roger Ailes never understood the web, but he got first impressions. Is that part of what's going on here, too? Donald Trump understands the power of first impression?
Well, he understands TV more than the web. I know that the president likes his Twitter feed, but he's a TV junkie at heart. He's someone that's much more comfortable, you know, in the TV medium than in the digital medium. And I think that's definitely true, and that's a lot like Ailes. Ailes and Trump, you know, there's a lot in common between the launch of Fox and the launch of Trump's campaign. Both were counted out. Both were dismissed by elites. You know, both were launched by conservatives in the heart of liberal New York City. And I think it's, you know, to understand Fox in 2020 and understand Trump in 2020, you do have to understand how these started. So that's why Hoax starts in those scenes. When I say first impression, Trump is also really great at putting on a show. And I think everybody sees that, whether you're a fan or whether you're a detractor. He knows how to put on a show. Fox has been a stage for him now for 5 years.
Well, let me, this is an unplanned question, but let me come off based on what you said. There's a lot of people who put a lot of blame on Jeff Zucker and others because back in 2015, 2016, when he was running, it's true. You didn't cover Hillary's speech, not you. People didn't cover Hillary's speeches at night because they were sort of mundane and not thrilling. But to watch Trump was to watch must-see TV. And there are some who argue that it was that level of coverage and that intensity of coverage that helped put him over the edge.
I don't think that the case, but yes, I've heard the critique, and the head of CNN has said he regrets running so many Trump events live without a filter, and says that wouldn't happen again. But I think when we look back, what we can also see is other GOP primary figures were not holding the same kinds of events. They weren't taking on Trump on his own turf, and they weren't holding him accountable. Ultimately, it's the role of the press to reflect what's happening in society. And it's the role of politicians and leaders in political parties to hold their team, their tribe, accountable. So I would turn it around on GOP leaders, I think, in some ways.
You do write in the book about Fox struggling between journalism and propaganda, and basically the point gets made that the latter won, the propaganda. Does that mean it's all about the money, it's all about the income, if that's true?
I hate to say it that explicitly, but that is one of the themes of Hoax. That is one of the themes in the interviews with Fox staffers, both at, you know, the bottom level and just starting out, and at the top level in the management and the executive ranks. You know, people confided in me and said, we're not really a network. We're a profit machine. You have to view it that way. That's how it all makes sense when you view it as a profit machine. You know, this is a network that's going to make, you know, about $2 billion in profit a year, an extraordinary sum of money. And there's just tremendous pressure to keep that going. And I think that is a big factor in the decisions.
The president has gone through a series of press secretaries. It seems to be he's his own press secretary. I mean, it seems like he just makes the most points when he takes to the microphone, which of course this last, what, year plus is what he's been doing.
Right, he has. And he also has Kayleigh McEnany now as his official press secretary. But he does seem to prefer to do a lot of the job himself. I think what I would say about that is, yes, that's what he's doing. It doesn't actually help him, though. He's not growing his audience, not growing his number of followers or fans. So, yes, it's true. He is his own comms director. But if we were to judge his performance, we might say that he's not succeeding or that it's not working for him.
You know, I think one of the reasons your TV show, Reliable Sources, on Sunday is such, you know, must-see TV, at least certainly for people in the field, but really should be for everybody, is because you go beneath the surface. We watch the politics, but you go beneath the politics. I love watching the other Sunday morning shows, including my own at 9 a.m. here called Political Report, but plug that show. But of course, we turn to you because you sort of go underneath it from the media perspective, which drives it all. So that being said, obviously, Rupert Murdoch, his son, drive it. But, you know, there's some in the book about the son, James, who seems to leave. James is a liberal.
Right.
Do we wake up one day to find out that for whatever reason, James is, you know, that a future generation goes, God, Fox is really that liberal network because James took over?
Right. It is possible, but it's impossible. But it's impossible to know now what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years. I would say this way. James is the more liberal son of Rupert Murdoch. He is disgusted by Fox News and the primetime rhetoric and the rants and the raves and the conspiracy theories. He, you know, would in the future perhaps like to take over Fox Corporation. But that cannot happen as long as Rupert Murdoch is alive. So in the event of Rupert's death, there are 4 votes that control the family business. Each adult child has 1 vote. Lachlan, who runs the company, has 1 vote. James, who's out of the company, has 1 vote. And then their 2 sisters each have a vote. The possibility is this. Could James and his sisters team up and outvote Lachlan Murdoch and take control of Fox Corporation? That's an open question. It may just be a liberal fantasy, but it is a possibility that's taken seriously inside the family. So 5 years from now, 10 years, who knows how long we're talking here. But it is possible that in the future, there'll be an attempt to take over the company.
How important is personality as we enter the final stages of this presidential race? You know, the president says something about Joe Biden and his minions pick up on it and his support. Everybody just, it becomes a theme. It's really tough for Democrats. I've never felt that Democrats have the strength that Republicans do in terms of media control, putting things out there. Would you agree that the Democrats do not know how to work the media as Republicans and the president do?
I'll leave that to the political strategists. I think that the different audiences want different things. And I think what Joe Biden's trying to do is deliver what he thinks Democratic audiences want, which is calm, steadiness, stability, signs of taking COVID seriously. You know, think about what he's been doing with his events. You know, he'll do interviews where he's far from the interviewer. He has these events that only have small audiences. He's trying to signal to his audience, his fans, that he's taking the virus seriously. It's a big contrast from Trump, who's kind of acting like the virus is under contained and under control. So, you know, they're communicating different things to different audiences. And I think, you know, what's happened is the country is polarized on virtually every issue. So different audiences want different things from their politicians.
You know, like I'm sure you, like a lot of people, when I'm home, maybe not like a lot of people, when I'm home at night, I'm watching all the channels. I'm certainly watching, you know, all the guys on CNN, and I'm watching MSNBC, and I'm watching Fox. I'm checking everybody out. And there are very different realities. I'm not going to judge one reality over the other. But if you do watch often CNN and MSNBC, you'll get COVID stories and things related to that, and turn over to Fox, and you're going to get the turmoil in cities emphasis. And so it creates it's the agenda setting effect, certainly the networks put out there. In a presidential election, as you know, Brian, you've got to, you know, one side has to broaden their base. Is either side doing enough through the media? I'm going to keep it in your world of expertise, through the media to broaden their base when each side simply kind of, you know, plugs the side that seemed to be relevant for them at the time?
Well, we know that Trump's not growing his. We know that he's behind on virtually every national poll. So I would say that the answer is no, he's not growing his base. You know, but I don't think we think about Biden having a base in the same way we think about Trump. We didn't used to use the word base so much either. Remember pre-Trump? You know, there wasn't all this the focus on base. It is Trump's incredibly loyal support, some say cultish support, that is the unique X factor of the Trump years. And it is in large part thanks to Fox, in large part thanks to Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, for keeping that base rock solid. There's no equivalent to it on the left. Yes, Rachel Maddow has fans and Chris Hayes has fans, but there's no equivalent to that kind of hardening of the base, at least that I see on the left.
You end the book in your epilogue with sort of one of the famous quotes, "Don't believe what you read. Journalists are enemies of the people." And then the specific quote, "What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening." You know, essentially just trust Fox News. And you end the book literally with the words, "That was the biggest hoax of all." My question is, and I'll let you respond to that. Well, why do you end the book with that? And then secondly, where does the media go from here? I guess when I ended it, I'm hoping, is there hope? And I'm wondering whether you had hope, because at the end, we sort of say, welcome to the world of the hoax. But what do? Where does the media go?
Right. Well, we just keep doing what we're doing. We have to report the truth, even when it's unpleasant, even when it's uncomfortable, even when the president says that we're liars and scumbags. We just have to keep telling people what the news is. You know, the country is not quite as divided as it seems, other than in politics. Certainly in politics, I know we're very polarized. But when that derecho show came through Iowa and headed toward Chicago, you know, earlier during the summer, people took it seriously. People took the news seriously. They trusted their local meteorologists. They trusted their local officials. That's the reality about America when you get past the politics. So that's what gives me hope. That's what gives me hope, is that you know, there is trust in media. There is trust in institutions when you look past some of this political infighting.
And I guess as I close, I want to kind of take it back to you personally. You know, you start off with this love of politics when you're a kid, which, like me, I grew up with people wondering, why aren't you running for office? Why aren't you a staffer to so-and-so? What was behind the shift in you to say, I love politics, and therefore I'm going to go to journalism and study it from that perspective? Why didn't you run for office?
Oh, God, I've never even thought about that as an option. I've always only cared about journalism. That's been the only thing I've ever cared about, and I think it will always be the only thing I ever care about.
When you had conversations with your dad, and I know your dad died shortly after W inauguration and stuff, but did you have conversations at home? Was it about politics, or was it about journalism? What were the growing up conversations?
No, it was always about media. I've always politics just happens to be what's in the news right now, but I, you know, 10 years ago, wasn't that interested in politics, and hopefully 10 years from now, I won't be that interested either. I think this national obsession with politics in some ways hurts us, and hopefully it's just an aberrant time in our history.
So media people love the book. I think people in general will love the book, Hoax, but let me ask you, are you, what are you hearing from, White House sources, people who, have to deal with you and stuff, anybody? Because I haven't really heard a lot of public attacks on you or the book.
You are right about that. I will leave it to others to speculate why. Hopefully that's because it's well-sourced and accurate.
Ah, well, we can't have that. all right, the book is Hoax, Donald Trump, Fox News, and the Dangerous Distortion of Truth by Brian Stelter. Great book. Definite read. Pick it up on Amazon or wherever you find good books. It's one you'll enjoy reading. My thanks to Brian Stelter. And have a great day. Be sure to watch them on Reliable Sources.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop, coming to you from behind the curtain.